From the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, scholar, composer, author, and international speaker, Dr. Joseph Michael Levery.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Chris Merrill. I am Mark Lejeure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Well, you can't see me, but for the show today, I just happen to be wearing a sweater, and on it is written Pace nel mondo, which in Italian is peace on earth. Now, I just happen to be wearing it because when I went into the closet to get a clean sweater, it was right on top. And so it happened to be right on top, and I happened to be wearing it. But it's not by happenstance that a sweater that says peace on earth is in my collection of clothes. I do my best to pick items of clothing that say things that I not only like wearing and putting out into the world, but that it feels good to read it, or otherwise I'd rather it not say anything at all. Now, I wish that I could do the same with the things that I hear on the radio or see on television or on computer, or when I'm opening up a magazine or a newspaper. I wish I had as much control over that, though I still have some control over that. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that I do is I don't go to the movies very often, because the messages that are in the movies, if it's not something that resonates with how I like to think or how I want to think or be, unfortunately, the messages can permeate our thoughts and our life. Yesterday, actually, I did go to the movie and I chose to go see Cabrini. And let me tell you just a couple of the messages that I got from that movie. I got to see what looked to me like a fine example of compassion, like a wonderful example of unconditional love, like a very strong example of a strong woman. I got to see faith, and I got to see inspiration and be inspired. And these are the thoughts that have permeated my whole day. As a matter of fact, everybody I went to the movie with has mentioned it today as they talked about the experience. So if we're talking about and feeling the positive experiences, then potentially we can expand those, we can see more examples of those in our lives, and we can be that more. And so, interestingly enough, or coincidentally, or not so coincidentally, in perfect alignment, today our show is titled The Deep Healing Power of Unconditional Love. This is our episode 782, and our interview guest is Dr. Joseph Michael Levery. And we will continue that conversation not only with him, but onto our Ask Dorothy segment, and then with our performance guest, Chris Merrill, as we talk about music and the frequency and what permeates our lives.
What permeates our lives, and definitely frequency. And tonight's going to be a high frequency show. I'm really, really excited for both Dr. Levery and Chris Merrill. Just such a powerhouse duo tonight.
Indeed. Well, for this episode 782, our interview guest is a scholar. He's an author, a composer. He's an international speaker, and he is so much more. He is Dr. Joseph Michael Levery, and we are honored to have you on the show. Dr. Levery, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Hello. Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here on this show with you. And it's really, really a joy to join you.
It's a pleasure having gotten to know you through your work and then as in our having spoken earlier and now getting to have you on the show. And I asked you if you would talk about your childhood. And I have to say, I have this image of an adorable little 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 year old boy with an ascot on walking around teaching people about spirit. How close am I?
Oh, you're quite close.
Oh, really? Really?
You are right on.
No. Tell me.
Yes. I had quite an interesting childhood, to say the least. I was born in a very spiritual family. Mm. I was born in the western section of the African land in the Ivory Coast. Mm. And I was fortunate enough to land in a family where spirituality was our breakfast, our lunch, and our dinner. So I was groomed at a very, very young age by great mystics who took me under their wings and made of me what I am today. Of course, most of my studies are pretty much in math, physics, and science, but the spiritual component of growing up with being surrounded with so much spirituality and being groomed by so many mystics has marked me in such a deep way that eventually it has caused me to get to a point where I can try to bring together, which is what I'm trying right to do right now, science and spirituality in something that can create a platform for people to heal, to expand, to actualize their higher nature.
In a childhood like that, and this is highly unusual, I didn't expect this, and how amazing. I wish we could speak more about that. But in a childhood like that, I hear this phrase that we hear so often, that's not the real world. Why would you teach your child what's not the real world?
Yes, we can see, you know, it's a kind of a Harry Potter type of world where you it's not a childhood like the child of every most children's. Yeah, it was completely different. Spirituality was a major part of my upbringing.
Wow.
Yes, and of course my love for mathematics came from my mom, who was really, really on me on a regular basis to cause me to get involved in to love mathematics, which I used in the beginning, I used to hate it. But eventually, I end up loving it. And me ending up in engineering is, I remember my dad was saying to me, okay, you can either just be a pilot or you can go into medicine. And I think one time we went to see someone in the hospital. And when I saw the blood, I said, forget it. No medicine for me. Then I said to my dad, listen, we're going to make a deal. I don't want to be a pilot. I don't want to just do this medicine stuff, but I'll just go for engineering. I'll be an engineer. He said to me, it's a deal. So this is what it was.
Oh, I have a feeling we're going to need to talk more because I made a deal with my father similarly. But so engineering seems the furthest thing from spirituality.
Yes, it seems to be like the first thing from spirituality. But you know, Filippo, engineering is, I have to say that at the root of spirituality, you have mathematics.
Mm. Mm.
At the root of music, you have mathematics. In essence, what I mean is spirituality in Egypt, in ancient Egypt, spirituality and science were part of the same theme of studies. it is in our time today where they have been separated. So if you think of spirituality as your right brain, and you think of science or engineering as your left brain, it is logical that you bring both brains together in order to maximize on the potency of the application of your brain in your life for the effective way of making decisions. In essence, what I'm saying is, you have a brain that gives you logic, yes, and you have another brain that gives you intuitions. So your left brain gives you logic, your right brain gives you intuitions. We are living in a left brain dominated world. Engineering is part of the left brain. But most of the great discoveries that came from all the great men of history, great CEOs, came from a hunch, which is intuitions. It is a boost of intuition that allows someone to make those discoveries that are justified by science, which means that intuition tells you this is what's going on, you cannot make sense of it, and logic justifies it in time. So intuition and logic works together. Logic is there for the logistic. Intuition just gives the destinations. This is what's going on. And logic figure out what is the logistic to get to the destinations. So actually, they are connected, because within intuition, you have logic. And within logic, you have some form of intuitions. So the idea, what my interest merging spirituality and science is to bring logic and intuition in what they call intuitional logic.
As fascinating as I find that, I want to add more to it, because you also put music into the mix.
Yes. And music is very mathematical, because there are two laws, according to metaphysics, there are two great laws that rule the universe. Of course, according to the Hermeticism, there are seven, but there are two laws. There's a law of vibrations, and which is what we refer to as the mother of nature. And then we have the law of a rhythm, which we refer to as the father of nature. When you bring vibration as sound together with rhythm, it gives you music. But it is rhythm that actually leads. Numbers come from a rhythm. So numbers are ways to explain the relationship between what we call the divine, man, and nature. So you cannot have, when you're talking about rhythm, eventually rhythm turns into numbers. So of course there's mathematics in rhythm. There's mathematics, rhythm in spirituality. There's mathematics in music. And you bring vibrations and you bring rhythm together, it gives you music. But now, what's the principle behind music? Music used to start with a human voice, because you need your human voice, which is our first primal instrument, or all of the new instrument nowadays, in order to create energy. Like Tesla say, to understand the universe, you have to think in terms of energy, vibration, and frequency. This is true, because you need voice or instrument to create energy. And then with that energy, you produce vibrations. And the vibrations, it's defined in terms of frequencies, vibrational frequencies. And this can be organized into rhythmic patterns. And then this way, you have music.
Wow. How do the spiritual principles line up with what you're saying?
Because the spiritual principles are very simple. Most of the spiritual principles, you can actually trace them all of them, to Hermetic principle. And Hermetic principle, there are seven principles in Hermeticism, which are called Hermetic principle. And this is the basis of all spirituality. You can trace spirituality down to Hermetic principles. And what are they? The first principle is the law of mentalism. The second principle is the law of correspondence. And the third principle is the law of vibration. The four principle, polarity, then you have the law of rhythm, then the law of causality, and the law of gender. So you see that here again, in the seven principle, the seven laws, you find the law of vibration, you find the law of rhythm, plus the other additional laws. Now, health comes from vibrations. Mm. Music comes from vibrations. And the law of attraction start with the law of vibrations. Wow. And the law of vibration start in our mind.
Wow. The law of vibration starts in our mind. A little more, please.
Yes. Yes. Attraction starts with the law of vibration. And the law of vibration. Yes. And the law of vibration starts in our mind. In essence, the universe always responds to our energy and our vibration. So what I'm saying is, the way we think, the way we feel, the way we speak, the way we act, the way we behave, but most importantly, our thought and our belief create our vibrations. And we get what we want based upon the law of vibration. It is based upon our energy and our vibrations. So whatever we attract in our life corresponds to our vibrational frequency. So if you want a car, you have to vibrate. The moment you want the car in the quantum world, it is given to you. And it isn't, it's waiting for you in the invisible realm in the quantum world. All we have to do is to work on our vibration and raise our frequency in order to match the frequency of the car, the house, the relationship, or anything else that we want. The moment we match that frequency, it is ours. And when we maintain that frequency, it stays in our lives, like a relationship. The moment there is a problem in frequency, a duality in frequency, then that thing that you were vibrating on the same frequency with, either live your life or you have to upgrade or degrade.
So you go with that example of the car. If somebody were born in a family, let's say, or in an environment where there were a lot of cars, you want a car, we have any car you want, for them to visualize and vibrate at the I want a car seems like it would be easier for them. Somebody else who could be born in an environment where we can't afford cars and there are no cars to be had, et cetera, for them it would seem that it would be harder to visualize and vibrate at the I can have a car vibration. No?
This is so true because there's nothing as powerful as the environment you're born in. If you're born in a rich environment, you feel like it's okay to be rich. If you're born in a poor environment, sometimes you feel like it's okay to be poor. You're comfortable. So you have to break out of your comfort zone. Mm. So the thing is to be able to raise your vibrational frequency, and then you have to change your vibration and raise your frequency to get out of your comfort zone. The moment you get out of comfort zone, you have a field of unlimited possibilities because the laws of nature, these are immutable. The law of attraction is immutable. The law of vibration is immutable. We have to vibrate at our frequency. Whether we are poor or rich, we have to vibrate at our frequency. If you vibrate at the frequency of what it is you want, which means if your thought, your feelings, if your words, your action, and your attitude are aligned with a high frequency, most likely the thing you want shall come to you. So everything vibrates. Good health is a high vibration. Problem of health is a low vibration. So it is actually traveling the ladder of vibrations that define what we do, because vibrations bring things to life. Vibration make things grow. And you need vibration to destroy things.
Mm. And actually, the destroying things seems to be someplace where we are as a culture, potentially a world, not necessarily destroying things, but there's a sense of we need something that could be healing to us. And hence the deep healing power of unconditional love being the title of the show. I have a feeling that this conversation can take us there and help us not only have the car and whatever else we want, but also have healing for our planet. So when we come back, we're going to get the opportunity to speak some more with Dr. Joseph Michael Levery. And I do want to draw the attention to everybody that he is all over the internet, actually. We have social media links and many links for the different workshops, et cetera, that he has and talks at the Life Changes Show page. Also, Joseph Michael Levery, LEVRY.com is his website. We'll get to speak with him more when we come back, and we'll also have our Ask Dorothy segment soon after that. And then we'll be joined by performance guest Chris Merrill, all on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and our interview guest is scholar, author, composer, international speaker, and as you can hear or have heard, so much more, Dr. Joseph Michael Levery. Thank you so much for having shared what you've shared so far. Obviously, a lifetime, or maybe many lifetimes of knowledge and understanding that you bring. And one of the things that I'm excited about your work is that you have a way and a desire to make it something that everybody can understand without having to go through all the studies, because we can't, right?
Yes.
We don't have that time, but we...
No, we don't have that time, especially...
But we have the possibility, right? What the possibility to get to a level beyond where we are.
Yes, we have. We have. We always, because it's never, never late, never too late. And every time that we have the breath of life, it is an opportunity to expand. It's an opportunity to open our heart, to take care of our mind, and to actualize our higher nature. So every breath of life we take, every day that's given to us, is a precious, precious opportunity.
So why is unconditional love one of the most important things that we need at this moment in time?
Oh, Filippo, it is so important for us to embrace the reality of unconditional love. It is important for us to realize that each one of us is a link in the eternal chain of life. And the chain is as strong as its weakest link. Therefore, no matter how small a link may be, or how weak a person may be, how poor, how desperate, no matter what a person may be, where they may come from, everyone has a purpose, a divine purpose. Everyone has something to contribute. By making a difference in other people's lives, by serving others, by moving beyond the illusion of separateness in order to embrace the reality of love and realize that we are all interconnected, the good that we may do to the earth, the entire earth will change, but the earth is not going to change until we embrace the reality of love. A human being cannot live without a heart. Mm. But the human heart cannot live without love. Everything that is good in the human beings is awakened by unconditional love. Love awakens within the human soul all of its potentialities. So we have to embrace the reality of love. We need to bring love to the earth. And then we have to start. The expression of unconditional love is to serve others, to change the world. We have to change ourselves. Regardless of what spiritual practice we're doing or what form of meditations, or it doesn't matter what our practice is on a daily basis, take care of ourselves. But if you want to talk about peace in the world, if you want to change this world to make it a better place for ourselves, for the children who are born and those to be born, we have to change ourselves. To make this world better, we have to make ourselves better. But to help ourselves, we have to serve others, because the universe serves those who serve others. I mean, when you start serving others, you are giving. And the essence of living is giving. And often, to whom much is given, much is expected. And mm-hmm. the happiest people on the earth are those who serve others. So to serve others, you understand the importance of loving kindness. Then you have a touch. You can touch as what it is to love unconditionally, what it is to extend yourself in order to make a difference in other people's life. Because the best way for us to express our success, any form of success in life, is by helping others and by making a difference in their lives. So what is unconditional love? Unconditional love is extending. When someone is falling apart, unconditional love is, we must extend a helping hand along with our loving kindness and compassion and lift them up. What is unconditional love? It means we must be touched by the call to relieve suffering and to show compassion to the most vulnerable people by relieving their suffering. What is unconditional love? Unconditional love is bringing love and faith and hope to others in order to counteract the lack of harmony in the world. It is important for us to raise our consciousness and to understand that most of the challenges, most of the problems we're experiencing in the world come from the lack of love. And yes, everyone is talking about peace, but peace comes from love, because love is the mother of light. And light is the mother of peace. And then from peace come the joy that everybody is longing for.
Dr. Levery, you're reminding me of something I haven't thought about in years. When my father would hear a siren, a fire siren or an ambulance, he would teach us children to say a prayer for whoever is suffering. And I think of that often. However, I was, and as beautiful as that is, I was taught that about that experience, and I believe that that can help. I wasn't taught, however, and I've not given thought as much, and I'm hoping that you can help us all have a thought when we hear of something happening around the world to people we don't know, or when we are driving and we see homeless people in the street. Sometimes we have thoughts like that are not pleasant about those people, but tying in everything that you've said from the beginning of the show, if our thoughts create, what can we think for those people?
Oh, it's the most powerful things. The thought are the language of the universe. And the moment we start realizing that we are all interconnected, the moment we realize that what I do affect you and what you do affect me, and how interconnected we are, and life only manifests through interconnection, interactions. So nobody can be successful in life without others. So we need each other. So if you look at the human body, when a cell, a single cell in a human body, does not transact with other cells, it's called a cancerous cell. So it is impossible to live like an island in a world where we came together to have a human, a spiritual experience as human being. We have to go beyond this illusion of separateness and then see our reflection in others so that we may have the compassion, the loving kindness to make a difference in their lives. And with that spirit of leadership, because through leadership, Filippo, it is to lift up another human being when they're falling apart. It's to feed those who are starving. It's to wipe the tears of those who are crying and to comfort the afflicted. Because the truth is, when we help others get what they want, we are making sure that in turn, we will have what we want. Because you cannot help someone else without helping yourself. It's impossible. So we have to, as we thrive for success or to excel in life, we shouldn't shut the door beyond ourselves. We have to open the door for others. Because when you push other people up, when you open doors for them, you open door for yourself. So we need to be each one of us. It's time that for us to realize if we want to change the earth with everything that is happening, all the challenges that we're being faced with, all the challenges, even the current unrest that is happening on the earth, the pandemic, you name it, call it all the names, Filippo. It is forcing us to raise our consciousness in order for us to let go of our negative conditioning, all the long-standing injustice, prejudices, oppression, human unconsciousness, and our irresponsibility, so that we can make a healing and positive changes now this earth more than ever. So in essence, what I want to say here is we should all become a burning candle of love, peace, and light. A burning candle of love, peace, and light. Think of every human being in this world being a burning candle of love, peace, and light, so that we may shine like the stars to show the beauty of the night, Filippo, which means call the night, the darkness, the problem, the obstacles. Let us lit up the sky with the light that we have by letting our light. So that as we move in this new age, let us move in this new age like rising suns so we can show the glory of the day. And this comes with unconditional love. And for that, we have an amazing spiritual technology, which I want to share here. We call it neuro-activating advanced meditations, which is now neuro-activating advanced meditations. What it does, it'll change your brainwave, change your personality. It makes your personality so positive. It will wipe out anxiety, depression, fear, insecurity, stress. And then what it take when it takes that away from you by vibrating this incredible technology of Nam, which is the divine power manifested in a sound current. You not only change the brainwave of a human being, but you create a neural network that aligns the mind, the brain, and the body. And as a result, we start radiating positively. We have a positive personality. We have a good frontal lobe. And then it is difficult not to be nice to others.
Well said. And that's NAM, NAAM. That technology is neuroactivating advanced meditation. So I'm going to be learning more about that, and you too can learn. There are the links at our Life Changes Show website page, but you could go to Joseph Michael Levry, LEVRY.com. You can go to shop.rootlight.com. You could go to givingnam, NAAM.com. Like I said, there are many more links, social media and all. Go and learn, read, experience. And I feel like we've just scratched. I know we just scratched the surface.
I know we scratched the Filippo. We just scratched the surface, because I was going to talk about the mega brain, but you know, they can, even if we don't have a chance to talk about a mega brain, which is developing this new brain in order to thrive in and this age with like the explosion of AI, the information overload, all of the isolation that is caused by social media and digital technology, we need a different type of brain. And if we don't have a time to touch upon it, We have an album which is called High Frequency Healing, in which there is a Halfa Brahmari, 120 Hertz, which does incredible wonders to the human brain. It will revitalize your brain. It'll put in such a way that you have the confidence, and then you have the frontal lobe activated, and every day become a honeymoon. Otherwise, you take a spoon of honey and you look at the moon.
And that's at Harmony Healing, umhealing.com.
It's called,
right?
The practice is on High Frequency Healing, which is the album. And I think we can just give that to your listeners, you know. And by the way, it's and that practice is Alpha Brahmari 120 Hertz. It's a very, very powerful practice, which we're putting in a practical way, on a track that a person can just follow and then have the result. The result is incredible. It'll give you a practical reality. It will give you an experience of an amazing practical reality that cannot be put in words.
Well, Dr. Lever, you just gave us an amazing experience of a practical reality that cannot be put in words. So we thank you for that.
It's so sweet.
and we know that there will be more to come, so we could talk about potentially each of those could be a show. And you know, I had a list of things that I wanted to speak about as well. But our time for this time has come to an end. But what a pleasure connecting with you. And I look forward to connecting with you again, as I'm sure many of our audience members will as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Filippo. I am so grateful for this beautiful platform. And I'm grateful for all the wonderful things you guys are doing with your platform. And you're changing lives. You're making a difference in so many people's lives with the wonderful message that of light that you're sharing. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I send my love and my light to your listeners and to you and everyone that is, you know, making sure that this takes place. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Levely, and thank you for being a part of that. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Nancy, and I'm a procrastinator, and I truly want to find a way to get things done in a timely manner. Please advise me as to how to accomplish my work without me needing to procrastinate.
Dear Nancy, the good news is that by recognizing this behavior and wanting to change it, you are making an elegant choice. Fortunately, there's some easy steps to overcome procrastination and to get things done in a timely manner. One of the first steps is to research why people procrastinate. There are so many great articles on the internet about this, and understanding why we put things off can help us undo that pattern, so I encourage you to do the research. There are many helpful steps that you can take once you are determined to change your ways. Verywellmind.com has offered some wonderful articles on this subject. I highly recommend the article, How to Overcome Procrastination for Improved Mental Health. And then there is the article offering these five simple steps to assist you in making this powerful change. Make a to-do list, take baby steps, recognize the warning signs, eliminate distraction, and pat yourself on the back. The article very simply explains how to do each step and is extremely helpful. There are many more incredible sites with great advice for overcoming procrastination. I encourage you to begin your research now.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, don't procrastinate and write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Chris Merrill, here on the Life Changes Show online edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes Show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back and our performance guest is a yogi. He's a performing artist. He's a teacher. He's a music producer. And also, he's so much more. We welcome Chris Merrill to the Life Changes Show. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Filippo. How are you tonight? I'm glad to be here.
Happy to have you here. I'm doing great, and even more great after that great conversation. And While I was talking to Dr. Levery and hearing about how he started out in life surrounded by spirituality, I was thinking of you and how you started off in life surrounded by what?
Surrounded by music, and even more specifically, surrounded by opera. It was pretty interesting. We actually have some similar parallels there in that he had a very spiritual family. My family was at the very top of the world opera performance circuit. My dad was a stage director and my mom was a conductor. And I literally grew up sleeping between the rows of seats in great famous opera houses. So that was my upbringing.
And so also, one would seem that what you're doing now, though somewhat related, is far from what one would expect. Is that not correct?
You know, it is. I got into spirituality. I took a little break from opera and I got into spirituality. And I was lucky enough to find someone to teach me who was interested in the science aspects of spirituality. And I don't literally mean just the scientific. I mean spirituality as a science. And that included the study of music and frequency as a way to heal. And For me, it was very natural. I thought, oh, I'm learning words in other languages. I grew up singing in other languages. Oh, I'm learning about math. I grew up doing math. And so it was a very natural transition for me to understand numerology and physics and spirituality and how planets work and how the organs of the body works and the meridians and how everything can actually be put together into a complete holistic system.
Right. Yeah. Now, you interestingly enough, one would think in the field that you're in that you would work in New York, and ironically, you worked everywhere else but New York.
It's true. My dad, who worked at the Metropolitan Opera for many years, 30 years actually, said to me once, he said, don't ever go to New York unless you go as a conqueror. So I took that to heart. I worked throughout the United States and in Europe and many different opera houses. And I decided never to go to New York unless I was coming as a conqueror. And in that moment where I had a little break, I went to New York and didn't do anything with music. So I was kind of hiding a little bit.
Well, so technically not a conqueror, but yet on the other hand, you conquered in a sense something else. This is where you got this other part of your life. No,
yeah, this is where I got this other part of my life, this music. And very interesting.
And also, there's no coincidence why you're on this particular show. We would have loved to have you on, but we got to know you through Dr. Levery, and there's a connection there. Please share us before we get to hear one of your pieces.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to meet someone, to have a very good friend, who, when I started down the path of spirituality, and I was buying books on everything you can imagine, I mean, like, you name it. And they said to me, hey, I know this person. You should come check this out. And I was very lucky to meet Dr. Levery. It's been almost 23 years that I've known him. And I don't believe in luck. I really look at it as a point of grace to find somebody who was an authentic spiritual teacher. And one of the first things he said in a program that I attended, of course, he's never met me, was, and if you're born on this date, which I happen to be born on, he said, you're going to love opera. There's no way that this person knows anything about me. So whatever this is a spiritual encounter. And I never look back.
Wow. Okay. Well, so we're going to get to talk a little bit more in between your songs. You know, you had me do something very difficult, and that is you left it up to me where we were going to cut off this music that keeps saying something and goes to the next level and takes us someplace else. And 11 minutes in, I couldn't find a place to cut it.
I'm sure you'll find the perfect place.
Well, what we've done is we have, interestingly enough, like in this first piece, there's an opera singer that comes in, which one wouldn't have expected in a piece like this. And then at about 3 minutes and 33 seconds, before we go on to the next thought, was an interesting place to stop. And that kind of happened with this song and the next song. So it's going to be, interestingly enough, 3 minutes and 33 seconds of your music. But we're going to let everybody know where they can hear the rest of it and many, many more pieces. So anything we need to know about this first piece before we hear it?
I think this is going to be 142. Is that correct?
No, I thought
we're doing the other one first. Okay, yes. Good. So I just produced my 18th and 19th albums featuring me. And this 18th album is a study of what they call Simran, meaning repetition of a mantra, which the words are Sat Nam. And this particular, I started getting fascinated by whale sounds. And I started listening to whale sounds, and I was actually started playing a different variation of the mantra over it. And I started realizing this is actually what I hear in my head as I'm doing this. So I went back to my sound engineer that I was working with, and I said, this is what I'm telling you. So I sent him all of the sounds I wanted to include and showed him how to do it. And we worked on this together to create this. It is actual blue whale and humpback whale sounds in spiritual music, which is pretty amazing.
And this is it called Sat Nam Simran?
Yes.
Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. So here is only 3 minutes and 33 seconds of Chris Merrill's Sat Nam Simran, pre-recorded here, airing, broadcasting on the Life Changes Show. Sat Nam 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 Chris Merrill.
Very cool. Thank you.
Yeah, very cool indeed. Thank you.
It's now, so interesting. Were you able to hear the whale sounds in it? As the piece progresses, it gets quite a bit of whale sounds.
Yes. Actually, what we didn't hear is the opera singer, because that's, I remember now, in the other song.
Yeah.
So that'll come next. But where are we wanting to send people? Chris Merrill Yoga, or?
Yeah, Chris Merrill Yoga is good. My music's also available under my name, Chris Merrill, at just about everywhere you can look for it. iTunes, Apple Music, iHeartRadio. You can find it everywhere.
Yes. And Merrill is M-E-R-R-R-R. M-E-R-R-I-L-L. So yeah. Chris Merrill.
Yeah.
And Chris is
C-H-R-I-S.
So, Chris, I didn't expect it. So where did that idea come from? I understand repetition, but I've never heard it repeated that fast. Is that anywhere else?
Yeah. So this is interesting. This is actually a meditation that, that I received as a practice. Oh. And, there is no music for it. So there is nobody who'd recorded anything for it. And after doing it for a while, I thought, gosh, I just want to record this. And it ended up being about a year before I got back into the studio for this particular piece. But there is no other recording of this. It's exactly as it was given to me, same rhythm, same speed, even down to being able to take four breaths between each of the four segmented breaths, which stimulates the pituitary gland. And, you know, this mantra was given to create success in every part of your life. I had the privilege to ask my teacher about it, and that's what he said. He said, this is going to bring success everywhere. And he told me a story of a yogi in LA who used to give this mantra out to a lot of their students, and they became very, very famous just from doing this practice the way it's recorded on here. So very interesting.
Now, this is you actually doing the practice and recording it? It's not looped?
Correct. It's me actually doing the practice and recording
it.
Wow,
wow, wow, wow.
So it is, and, you know, we started in the last conversation to talk a little bit about frequency.
Yeah.
One of the cool things about spiritual music is if you can put yourself into that frequency, then the music that you're recording or the music that you're listening to is going to transmit that same frequency. So this is able to kind of take you to a certain place.
Well, actually, same with the conversation with Dr. Leverly. This
absolutely
is just a start to so much of what you know and so much of what we'd like to share on the show. You could have been an interview guest for sure as well with the knowledge base that you have and that you share in everything that you're doing. So let's go just a little bit over and tell us how, because what you shared just now ties in with what I was saying during the monologue, is that choosing the music that we want, you know, having Satnam in our head is very different from some of the lyrics that we have in our head with clever loops that are clever hooks that are out there in songs these days, but the words might not be so good to have in our heads, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely true. I'm a big fan. So I love music. I've listened to a lot of kinds of music. And maybe 15 years ago, I started getting a little bit, I stopped listening to a lot of music. And then when I moved to LA, I tried to get back into listening to the radio. And I was like, I found myself singing these words of these songs. And I'm like, this is not something that I really want to associate myself with. I don't believe in what they're saying, or I don't think the language is uplifting. And so I started getting into curating the music that I listen to. And even beyond that, then, I really, because of my connection with spiritual music, I understood that, you know, when you're listening to music, you're not only just tapping into the words that are being said, but you're able to tap into the consciousness of the person that you're listening to. So if you're listening to someone who's saying things that are of low consciousness, and that's where they're at, that's kind of like an injection of frequency into who you are. And so one of my goals was to create high frequency music, conscious music, that's able to uplift and elevate. And I think it's really important for people to realize what you listen to matters, even down to the idea that what you expose yourself to through your eyes, like you were saying with film, is going to affect you.
Mm.
So I really can relate to what you were saying.
I can relate to what you're saying and what you're bringing forward. And I like the fact that it's whether you call it spiritual music or yoga practice or meditation practice music, or NAM, NAAM, right?
Yeah, NAM, yeah.
NAM, right? So, but it's so far everything I've heard is enjoyable.
I believe it has to be enjoyable, right? You don't have to abandon your Western Judeo-Christian trend if you're just to go like live in an ashram in India and listen to Indian music played on a harmonium. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
Right? I love it. And there are certain musics that because of who I am and where I grew up and I'm passionate about. So I think listening to beautiful classical music is transcendental. I think listening to the right type of electronic dance music is transcendental. And it can take you beyond where you are. So why not be able to combine high frequency music with music that kind of vibes with where you're from? You know, you don't have to abandon a piece of yourself in order to find a piece of yourself. In fact, it doesn't even make sense.
Chris, so, I know we talked about needing to connect, as I know I feel the need to connect with Dr. Levery, but I just had this scary thought, like maybe we're supposed to connect and write a high frequency opera.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting. That's wow. You know, I've been waiting to see how this path that the universe put me on is going to come back and bring this back into my life. So that's an interesting question you're putting out there. No one's ever said that to me.
It's never thought of it, but yeah. here it is.
Who knows? Maybe that's our path. Let's see.
We'll see. You heard it here first if it is. But okay, so we're going to get to hear 142, which is an interesting name of a piece. Tell us a little bit about that and before we hear 3 minutes and 33 seconds of this piece.
Absolutely. So I got interested in creating purpose-driven spiritual music, which is music that is supposed to amplify the effects of an exercise. And one of the exercises that's written about in the yogic scriptures is the exercise of breathing in a ratio of 1:4:2. I'm not the only person that's talking about this. Patanjali talks about it. Motivational speakers from today talk about it. Tony Robbins is all about it. And I thought, but there's nobody who writes in a rhythm of 1-4-2, because 1-4-2, if you put it in musical terms, is 4 beats, 16 beats, and 8 beats, which all together would create 7 bars of music. But nobody writes music in a 7-bar pattern, because that's... you always write in even numbers of bars, usually, except for some modern music. And I thought, gosh, there's got to be a way to do this. So I created this as the kind of title song of an album that I later created called 1-4-2, which is this ratio of 1-4-2, or as I like to think of it, 4, 16, and 8 in different speeds for people who have different breath capacities. So whether you breathe quickly, you breathe medium, you breathe medium slow, you breathe very slow, on the album are all of these different speeds that you can practice this breath. And structured within the music itself are the cues to inhale, the cues to hold the breath, and the cues to exhale, as well as the frequency, the rhythm. So it's a healing rhythm, and it's as well as the pitch. So it's quite interesting. It's really interesting. I don't know of very many other people who are doing anything like this.
It's very interesting, and it relates to everything that Dr. Levery, well, so much of what Dr. Levery was talking about. And I'm glad you two are working together, because this seems like something next level is happening with all of what you two are bringing. So with that, we get to hear a pre-recorded version. Again, 3 minutes and 33 seconds of a much longer piece. I think it's 11 or 12 minutes, and you can go and find it anywhere music is available by looking up Chris Merrill, M-E-R-R-I-L-L, and we'll get to hear it here on the Life Changes Show. Here is 1-4-2. Thank you. hate to cut it off. But...
I'm ready for more too.
Feel like going to hear the rest of the piece, and I'm sure if you do too, you can go to Chris Merrill, find him online, or chrismerrillyoga.com. But you could find him on Spotify and SoundCloud and YouTube and all kinds of places. You could find links on Life Changes Show, and of course you could search him online. Chris, so grateful to have had you and this conversation, your music and your passion on the show.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. And thanks for creating a new possibility for us for the future.
And for the world.
And for the world.
So with a big thank you to Chris Merrill and another big thank you to Dr. Joseph yes. Michael Levery. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeure, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.